If you have your Bibles this morning, Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Hopefully you didn't just bring the New Testament. All right, if so, then hopefully you'll be near somebody that has the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 1, we're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about choices. What the Bible has to say about choices. There was a flight attendant that was on a commercial airline, and the flight attendant came up to the passenger and asked if he would like dinner. And so the passenger looked at the flight attendant and said, "Well, what are my choices?" And the flight attendant answered, "Well, your choices are yes or no." That's your choice right there. Yes or no. There's choices that we have to make. One lady speaking about choices, this is what she said. "Early in life, I decided I would not be overcome by events. My philosophy has been regardless of the circumstances, I shall not be vanquished, but will try to be happy. Life is not easy for any of us, but we have a choice of whether we will be happy or not." Psalm chapter 1, we're going to read it together, so we'll read it responsively. If you don't know what that means, I'll start in verse 1, together we'll read 2, and then I'll read 3, together we'll read 4, and then we'll go through. It's only 6 verses, so you should be able to handle it, all right? 6 verses, it's not Psalm 119, okay? So we're in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful together. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper together. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Heavenly Father, I pray this morning as we look at what the Bible has to say about choices, and we see two choices listed here in Psalm 1. I pray that we would take stock of our life, make sure that we are on the way of the righteous. And Lord, if we have not been saved, Lord, that we would determine, understand how to become righteous, not on our own, but through the blood of Christ, as was mentioned in the testimony. But then, Lord, it may also be that as a Christian, we have chosen the way of the righteous many years ago. But maybe we have started thinking about going the way of the wicked. I pray that you would help us this morning, saved and unsaved alike, that we'd understand that there are choices that are to be made. And I pray that we'd make wise choices in our lives. Lord, as always, do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power. In Jesus' name, amen. There are always choices with our lives. Psalm 1 is not the oldest psalm. The oldest psalm is Psalm 90. If you ever are looking at it, the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms is Psalm 90. That was written by Moses. And so you'd say, well, why is Psalm 1 listed as Psalm 1? Well, I think when the canon of Scripture was put together, Psalm 1 kind of introduces and helps us understand something. It's very similar, actually. Many commentators compare Psalm 1 to, in the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount. Right? They say it is the Sermon on the Mount of the Old Testament in Psalm 1. And why is that? Because it tells us how to be blessed. How to be, that word blessed means to be extremely, have extreme happiness. And so how can we be blessed? There are choices. Some even say in the Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so you can ask Clint Shriver, and he can tell you if this is true or not. But some commentators say that in the Hebrew, the word blessed is used twice. So it's saying blessed, blessed. All right, saying how blessed is the man that follows God's way. And so in the Bible, there are people that say there are all kinds of choices and all kinds of people in this world. But really, in Psalm 1, it's divided into two people. You have the righteous and you have the wicked. And really, this morning, that's all we're going to consider. We're going to consider the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. We're going to spend more time on the righteous. All right, just so you know, we're going to spend more time on the righteous, and hopefully, then at the end, we will pause and consider the way of the wicked. And I want to spend more time on the way of the righteous, because sometimes we spend a lot more time on the way of the wicked. And I don't want to give them a lot of time. All right, I don't want to give the devil a lot of time and a lot of thought. What I'd like us to do is consider, what is the way of the righteous? The righteous man is expressed, you'll notice, in verses 1, 2, and 3, he's expressed in two different ways. He's expressed negatively, and he's expressed positively. So you'll notice in verse 1, he's expressed in a negative way. And what does it mean by that? It's told there are some things that a good person, a righteous person, does not do. And some people get all bent out of shape because there they go. There the Bible is. That's why I don't like Christianity, because it's a whole bunch of don'ts. Well, just so you know, one of the don'ts is, you know, don't be stupid. All right? Don't be an idiot. All right? Don't be foolish. All right? There's a whole lot of thou shalt nots in the Bible, and I actually think it's okay. All right? I like that good people follow thou shalt not kill. I just think it's really good to be around people that don't kill me all the time. I just think it's helpful, right? It's helpful for my life, and it's helpful for them staying out of prison. There are some thou shalt nots in the Bible, and that is part of the way of the righteous. And so we want to look at three things under the way of the righteous. First of all, let's look at the conduct of the righteous. Notice what it says. Blessed is the man, and it gives us three things that is in the negative. He walks not, he stands not, and he sits not. All right? So you notice the three negatives. He says he's not going to walk in the way of the counsel of the ungodly. He's not going to stand in the way of sinners, and he's not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. So it's telling us about the conduct of the righteous, and it's giving us it in the negative. So what it's saying is, positively, he walks with godly people, he stands in the way of righteous people, and he sits not with a whole bunch of negative, critical people. That's the idea of scornful. And it's giving us a progression also. The progression is that as a righteous person, I am watching out with my associations. And this morning, that's what, just as we start into it, the conduct of a righteous person is that he's careful of what he does. And this morning, as a Christian, you need to be careful of what you do. What you do does have an effect on other people, and what you do has an effect on your religion and on your Christianity. What you do. So notice what it says. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not going to get his wisdom. Counsel gives the idea of where I'm getting my wisdom, where the voices that direct my life. I am not walking with the voices of the ungodly. I am not going to have a group of people telling me what to do in my life that are ungodly. So let me ask you this. So what is the group of friends that has the most influence? And that could be young people here. What's the group of friends that have the most influence over you? All right? And that's what you want to think about. The group of friends, are they godly? Now, it's great that you're in church here. But are you following God's way? Are you listening? Are you walking in the counsel of the godly or the ungodly? The Bible says a blessed man, a righteous man, the conduct of a righteous man is that he's watching out with the voices that are leading and guiding his life. Now notice secondly, it's a progression. All right, so he walks not in the counsel, then he standeth in the way of sinners. In the Bible, there's you'll see this word later and we'll explain it, because it talks about the wicked shall not stand in judgment. All right, and here it's saying that the righteous are not standing in the way of sinners. So what's this idea of standing? Well, in the Bible, the one idea of standing is that this is a choice. For instance, I looked up that word standing is used 500 times in the Old Testament. Some form of it. This is what some of the words, again, remember the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, so some of the words are translated stay, wait, endureth, remained, established, dwell, abideth. So think of that then when you come into that word. So the counsel of the ungodly or standing. It means that you are established, you're remaining, you're enduring, you're dwelling in the way of sinners. Do you see what the Bible is telling you? It's a progression. I'm walking. And this is what some of us don't understand about choices in the Christian life. When you start and decide to walk with the ungodly, pretty soon you're going to be dwelling with them. You're going to be enduring. You're going to be remaining. You're going to be abiding. And the Bible is telling you to not even walk. And guess what? If you stop the walking, you're not going to be standing. That means I ain't hanging out with them. I ain't dwelling with them. I don't like being around wrong. I don't like being around sin. I don't think it's funny. I don't think it's good. I don't approve of it. In fact, if I see it, and this is what I would recommend in our technology world, do this. You see somebody doing wrong and they're your friend, and it's on Facebook or whatever, you can message him privately and say, hey, is that what a Christian does? Here's a verse. Pretty soon, you'll be hidden. Alright? You'll be blocked. You know why? Because that person wants to stand with sinners. And if you are going to be in the way of the righteous, you're going to have a testimony, and the testimony is that, guess what? I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and then I don't stand in the way of sinners. And that idea of standing is, I'm not established, I'm not dwelling, I'm not abiding, I'm not waiting, I'm not staying around sin. It's not welcome around me, and if I see it, I'm going to say something about it. That is the testimony of a blessed man. A blessed man walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He standeth not in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So the idea of the scorner most of the time, the idea of the scorner is found in the book of Proverbs. God has nothing good to say about a scorner. A scorner is a critical, hateful guy that basically belittles authority, pulls down authority. All he does is question authority and question God's word, and he has a critical spirit. And guess what happens? You hang around and get counsel, and you walk with bad sinners, bad people, and then you start dwelling with them. Pretty soon, you're not going to like the things of God. You're going to start saying, you know what? What's the big deal about God's word? It's just a bunch of rules. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, and normally it's people that are hanging, are walking with the ungodly, standing and dwelling with sinners, and pretty soon they're hanging out with the scornful. And they're, guess what, most of them, they have an appearance. Because all of them, you can find apps now. I'm pretty sure you can find an app to take your picture and make you look happy. All of those people have them. They're like, psh. And then before they're like, oh, wow, do I look horrible? Yeah, you do. You know why? Because you're hanging out with the sinful. And sin doesn't make you blessed. That's the Bible. And so get the app, make yourself look happy, put it up. Hey, I've got a new picture on my account. It's a fake picture because you're not happy. Because a Christian that is in sin is never blessed. So notice the first thing we saw is the conduct of the righteous. Notice secondly, the character of the righteous. We find that in verse 2. Notice the character of the righteous. The character is, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. A Christian's delight. You'll understand this understand how it applies. I read a story, and it's a mythical story. It's a story of a king, and he came to the throne as a young man. And he had a silver bell made and placed it in a high tower in his palace. The announcement went forth with trumpets, with fanfare. He sent the message out about the silver bell. And this was the message. The proclamation was, whenever the king was happy, his subjects would know because the silver bell would ring. All through the kingdom, the announcement was made with trumpets and fanfare. Posters were put up and saying, whenever thou hearest the silver bell, the king is happy. The king came into power as a youth. It was never rung. Nobody ever heard it. Days passed, weeks passed, months into years, and no sound of the bell. At last, the king, growing old and gray in his palace, lay on his deathbed. His subjects were weeping. They gathered around him, and he learned how through all the years his people had loved him. And then he was happy. Then he had joy. And with dying hands, he asked for the silver bell to be brought down, and he rang it. And this was the sad thing. How many years of wasted happiness? All of his subjects could have had the noise of the silver bell, and they could have been like happy little kingdom people and had happy little kingdom feast and had merriment. But none of them had it. Why? Because the king didn't know how much love and how much appreciation there was. Now this is the application. You notice about the character of the righteous, he understands what brings him happiness. Do you see what it is? Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. You see his delight. He is a reader of scriptures. One man put it this way, I am never so happy as when in a nook with the book. And it should be, and guess what? You'll never be so happy until you learn to delight in the law of the Lord. You delight in it. How few among us can lay claim to that text. Because we don't understand the delight that is there. The delight in the law of the Lord. Now notice, secondly, not only do we see the Christian's delight, we see the Christian's thought. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. I read of a minister that growing up, he lived in the Quebec area, and this was decades ago. He lived in the Quebec area of Canada. And the area where he lived, there was a mill that produced a lot of lumber. The runoff from the mill would flow into the water, and the people of Quebec had some raunchy, at least that area where he grew up, said that it was some raunchy smelling, just smells naturally. But then he said there was some raunchy smelling water. He said the runoff that went into the water around them was just horrible, where some people would have these nice streams that would flow down. He said none of us would go near the streams. It just smelled, it reeked. And so for that reason, there was a lot of water companies that would promote and would advertise clean water at the stores. And this pastor remembers one of the companies that said this. There was a huge billboard and there was a person with a very clean bottle of water and it said, "You are what you drink." And he said, for all of us, we looked and we were like, yeah, if you drink that, you're going to die. All right? Not the picture of that, but referencing the runoff into the streams. But biblically, you are not what you drink. Biblically, you are what you think. And I have Bible to back that up. Proverbs 23, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Romans 8, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Romans 12, 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." 2 Corinthians 10, 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Colossians 3, verse 2, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." You are, as a Christian, what you think. So guess what a blessed man does? His character is that he delights in the law of the Lord, and then he thinks about it, how often? Day and night. Day and night, the word of God in a blessed man, in a righteous man. Day and night, the word of God is there flowing through his thoughts. So is that true of you? Then I would say probably there's a little bit of misery that you've been going through this past week. And you know it. There's a little bit of discontent. There's a little bit of maybe impurity. Why? Because the Bible says that a blessed man has the character of delighting in the Word of God, but also in thinking about the Word of God. He meditates on the things of God day and night. But then we see the condition of the righteous. Notice in verse 3. What's the condition? "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So what's the condition? There's other verses in the Bible, and I found a few in Isaiah. I thought this was interesting. They sound very similar. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 18 says, "I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water." Isaiah 44 verse 4 says, "And they shall bring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses." Isaiah 58:11 says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Those are all found in the book of Isaiah. And what is the Bible telling us? The Bible is telling us the condition of the righteous. Do you notice there's a couple ideas that come out? The righteous is fed and refreshed. He says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. right, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You don't see anything lacking with the righteous. He's fed. He's refreshed. It's as though every need of his is supplied. That is the blessed man. That is the righteous man as we find it in Psalm 1. And you maybe this morning as a Christian, you've been saved, you're born again, but the devil has come to you and he's tricked you, he's conned you, and he said, there is not refreshment in Christ. There is not refreshment in the things of God. And you've gone out and you've stopped feeding on the Word of God, you stopped thinking about the Word of God, and you're in despair, you're despondent, there's a whole bunch of misery and discontentment in your life, and you're saying, why, Lord? It's not him. You've left his path. The blessed man in Psalm 1 is he that finds the Word of God and thinks on the Word of God, and he's fed and he's refreshed. Not only is he fed and refreshed, he's vigorous and productive. Did you notice what it says here? He's bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. You see that he's vigorous. The idea in verse 3, it's not something, it's not some of the trees that maybe are growing in your yard. Right? Sometimes in our yard we'll go through and we prune our trees. And actually the pruning, basically we should say we killed them. Okay, we don't know everything about trees, and so we have pruned trees so much that they're no longer in existence. That's not the idea that we get in verse 3. The idea in verse 3 is there's vigor, there's life, there's productivity, there's fruit in his season. A godly Christian, you follow their life. The fruit may not always be like, that's why we don't in our services say, hey, so how many have had 5 souls this week? Oh, praise the Lord. And it comes a contest. We're not talking about that. But guess what? You stay a Christian and you stay plugged in by the rivers of water. And that's in the godly fashion. You know what's going to come? You stay at it. You'll have fruit. In your season, you'll have fruit. And there's all kinds of different fruits. One of them is souls. But it's also the fruit of the Spirit. There's peace and joy and love. There's gentleness and goodness and faith. You see, there's a vigor in life. There's a productivity. Not only do we see that in verse 3, it says, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, guess what, shall prosper. We not only see that he's fed and refreshed and has his life has vigor and productivity, but he's successful and prosperous. And in today's day and age, what you see in our society is success is everything. But success is monetary. It's, hey, did you see that person? They got a new car. Hey, did you see that person? They got a raise. And this is what I can tell you. The devil can give you that. I was talking to somebody recently, and you better be careful of saying that only monetary thing is evidence of God's goodness, because you don't understand the Bible, because even the devil brought Jesus up and says, look at all this. I'll give it to you. But bow to me. And some of you, because your God is monetary things and materialism, you haven't understood that that's the God of this world. And the devil can promise you everything in this world. But this is what I can tell you about the devil. He can promise you nothing in the world to come but damnation. Because that's what's coming. If you follow his agenda and you give everything for this life, guess what? Christ gave us a great example, because Christ did not bow to Satan's demand, because he knew his ploy. But success and prosperity whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That means that a Christian, you stay at it and be faithful to the Lord's bidding. And guess what will happen? God will prosper you. So we said that that's the way of the righteous. But then we have, guess what? The way of the wicked. And we'll just quickly go through verse 4, 5, and 6 now. So we saw the way of the righteous. And what is that? You saw the conduct. You saw the character. You saw the condition. I just want to look at the two things, the character and the condition of the wicked. Look at the character of the wicked. Notice what it says. The ungodly are not so. They say, again, I am not a Hebrew scholar, but they say in the Hebrew, this is a double negative. So in the Hebrew, it says, not so. The ungodly, not so. It's a double negative. I think the point is, whatever the righteous are doing, it's yelling out, the psalmist is jumping up and down and saying, hey, whatever the devil is saying, whatever the ungodly friends are saying, whatever the way of the sinner is saying, it's not so. Don't listen to him. So guess what the character of the wicked is? The character of the wicked is everything opposite of the righteous. So guess what the wicked do? Yes, they walk in ungodly counsel. Yes, they stand in the way of sinners. And yes, they sit in the seat of the scornful. That is proof that you are a wicked person. So I go back to the righteous way. Then why in the world, as a Christian, are you hanging out with wicked people? You're proving you're wicked. That's what you're proving. Because the character of the wicked is his ways are wicked. Then verse 2 also applies. So it doesn't say this in verse 4, 5, and 6. What it says, the ungodly are not so. And what it's saying is, everything above, it's not so about the wicked. So the righteous person, he has right character. His ways are right. The wicked person, his ways are wicked. And then, guess not only that, in verse 2 applies in the opposite and the negative to the wicked. His thoughts are wicked. In verse 2, a Christian's delight is in the law of the Lord. A wicked person, his delight is not in the law of the Lord. So what is it in? It's in yourself. So this past week, what proves our wickedness is our life filled up with self more than God. Then guess what we are? We're in the path of the wicked. We need to get out of that path. Our thoughts are wicked. Our thinking, our delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the righteous. The righteous, his law doth he meditate day and night. And that means, now that's not saying that I can't think about a ball game. I can't think about work. You know, I've got to be, you know, probably if you're at work, your boss probably wants you to think about work. That's probably a good thing. But some of us, we're at work and we're thinking about a whole bunch of other wrong things. And the Bible says, yeah, that's what the thoughts of the wicked. It's the character. The character of the wicked is his ways are wicked. His thoughts are wicked. But then what's the condition? Notice in verse 4, they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So most of us, I think, have read up on that. We understand it. So in the Middle East, especially at this time when they were writing this, you had the wheat and the chaff. As they call it, the wheat and the chaff. So what they would do is, a wheat is heavier, and chaff is just something that gets blown away. So they would have some, you know, later on they developed machines that would separate this. But one way of separation was they would have big areas, and they would toss the wheat and the chaff up in the air, and they would be in an area that there would be winds. And the weight of the wheat would bring the wheat straight down, and the chaff, the wind would just blow it away. That's the condition of the wicked. What is it saying? They're like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. It's not worth anything. And then it says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. And here's that question that came to my mind. I was like, wait a minute, so not stand. This is in a positive way. So as a Christian, I can stand in judgment. And in fact, I was reading this morning, I think it was in the book of Ezra, in my personal devotion time, and it used this idea that the righteous can stand. Guess what the unrighteous cannot do? They can't stand in judgment. Why can't they stand? As a Christian, you and I can stand in judgment. And what does that mean? I can answer in judgment. It's not because of me. And this is where we come to the idea of salvation. I myself, on my own merit, cannot stand in judgment. And judgment is the idea of it's a courtroom setting. So in a courtroom setting, can I come up there and I'm a blessed man, I'm a righteous man, and I say, hey, hear, hear, I am righteous. I can't do that, but the reason I can stand is because I have an advocate with the Father called Jesus Christ the righteous. And Jesus Christ the righteous comes up next to me and he girds me up and he says, wait a minute, he can't stand, but I have been placed in his stead. I will stand for him. You see, the ungodly cannot stand. You and I can't stand, but I can stand as a righteous man because I have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And Jesus Christ the righteous comes and he says, wait a minute. He's been reconciled. Remember that word reconciled? Reconciled means that there was a debt. And even in the Greek times, they would have bill collectors. And the bill collector would come and they'd say, hey, you owe this debt and I could be taken to debtor's prison. But Jesus Christ came and he stamped it and he said, it's reconciled. It's paid in full. I can stand in judgment. Not because of my righteousness, but because of his righteousness. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff with the wind just drives away. They're not going to be able to stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Look at what the Bible says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There is no way for you this morning if you are not saved. There is no way if you have never accepted Jesus Christ's payment. If you have not come to the point where you understand that Jesus Christ the righteous is your advocate, he has settled your sin debt. There is no way for you to make it. The Bible says you shall perish. But what does the Bible say? You don't have to perish, but you can have everlasting life. It's a choice. This morning you have choices. And in Psalm 1, there's two. There's the way of the righteous, and there's the way of the wicked. I read of a man, his name was Jacob Kashi. Jacob Kashi grew up in Singapore. And he had one driving ambition. And that is to be a success in life. He wanted to gain all the money, all the possessions he could. And so in Singapore, that led him, and this was back in the 1980s and the 1970s, this led him to the world of drugs and gambling. He became the lord of an international ring in Singapore. In 1980, he was arrested. and placed in a government drug rehab prison in Singapore. He was frustrated. This is how Jacob says it now in his testimony. He says, I was frustrated because I gave my whole life to be a success, and I was a success, and now all of it was taken away. All my goals, all my purposes, all my dreams, all my ambitions were locked up with me in a tiny cell. And he said, my heart was filled with emptiness. He wasn't blessed. He was a smoker. He said cigarettes weren't allowed in the prison where he was at there in Singapore. So he would smuggle in raw tobacco. And in his tiny cell, the one thing they did give him was a Gideon Bible. And he said, so he would take pages of it, roll it up, and he said, I smoked the Bible. One day he fell asleep while smoking. And he awoke to find that the cigarette had burned out, and all that was remained was a little scrap of the Bible. And in it, he opened it up, and there it said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, you know what? I just smoked my Bible. So he went to the warden or the authority, said, I want another Bible. And they got him one. And he started reading about Saul. And through the life of Saul, through the book of Acts, he said in his tiny little cell, he got saved. He suddenly realized that if God could help someone like Saul, maybe God could help him too. He made a choice at that moment to accept Christ. And he walked as that blessed man, and he wanted to avoid the paths of the wicked. He started sharing the story with other prisoners, and soon he was released and he became involved in a church. At the church, he met a lady, he married, and guess what? He became a missionary. He tells the story, who would have believed that I could find the truth by smoking the Word of God? Choices. He made a choice, and he saw that somebody in the Bible, Saul, was faced with a choice. A choice of a righteous path or a wicked path. And he chose the righteous path. This morning, you saw a righteous path and a wicked path. You saw what the character is of each. You saw what the conduct is of each. But which choice are you going to make? Heads bowed, eyes.